ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Salam dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Dari Sai Bishu, and we continue the series Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam. In the last few episodes, I've been sharing with you the story of Mr. P.R. Unni, the accommodation in charge of Prashanthi Nilayam. He's over 85 now and still continues to serve in the Prashanthi Nilayam ashram. Earlier to that, I shared with you the story of Mr. Pant, who is 100 years and 5 months and still in the ashram, looking after the Shanti Bhavan, the guest house. There are so many such beautiful lighthouses of inspiration, beautiful powerhouses of selfless service, who have contributed immensely to the growth of the ashram, to the blossoming of Bhagwan's mission. They have been people who have really striven to experience the joy amidst the challenges and emerge victorious in experiencing the Prashanti. Swami says, I have named this place Prashanti because it will give you supreme peace. But it is not an ashram. I did not call it Sri Satya Sai Ashram. I called it Prashanthi Nilayam because ashram means a place where you do not have to do work. Ashrama. Shrama means work. Swami said this is a place which will make you work, but it will give you Prashanthi. Not just normal Shanti. It will give you supreme peace. And it is from these lives we learn how we should dedicate our every ounce of energy, our every second to His work and revel in His glory. In 2018, July, August, I had 5 episodes of a program called Sai First, Service First. The energizing life of Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao, who was the first Sevadal member of Bhagwan. When Swami started the Sri Satya Sai Sevadal as an institution, he was among the first members. And till the end, he was in Prashanthi Nilayam. He was over 90 and he was serving in the ashram. In fact, after he was 85, he took up the responsibility of being the editor of Telugu Sanatana Sarathi, and nobody knew that he was actually a man of literature, and he brought in many lovely changes in the Telugu edition of this ashram mouthpiece. Bhagwan always wanted Mr. Ramana Rao to head the Sevadal institution in India. He was the national service coordinator right from the 60s and till he was past 80, Bhagwan always wanted that he should be in that position. Even when he requested, Swami said, no, other people can help you, but you should be holding that position. That is how Swami wanted everyone to emulate the kind of life Mr. Ramana Rao led. Earlier, over 5 episodes, I've shared with you how he came to Bhagwan, how were those initial days when he challenged Swami, and how his faith got confirmed, and after that, how Bhagwan had come to Hyderabad, his home, how Bhagwan gave him little responsibilities and how he came out with flying colors every time Swami tested him. And eventually he had the opportunity to tour with Bhagwan to the East West Godavari districts, which happened in 1969. So in the previous episodes, I've shared with you lovely stories of his reminiscences with Bhagwan, and at every opportunity, how he took it in a manner that every challenge became a stepping stone to go closer and nearer to Bhagwan. That is the life of Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao. I wish to continue from where I left off last year in this series, Beacons of Prashantanilayam, because there is so much to learn from this exalted soul who was also the state president of Satya Sai organization Andhra Pradesh for quite some time before he handed over the responsibility to Mr. Anil Kumar, who later became the principal of the Vrindavan College as well as the famous translator of Bhagwan's discourses. He was the one who suggested Anil Kumar sir to take over as the state president of the state of Andhra Pradesh, Sri Satya Sai organization. So let me take you back to 1969, January of 1969, when Mr. Raman Rao was touring with Bhagwan to the East and West Godavari districts. So Bhagwan was there with his entourage, and there was a road leading to Kadali. It was the native place of Sri Kamavadhani Garu. Now Kamavadhani Garu was the one who had taught Vedic hymns to all the students in Prashantanilayam and in Vrindavan. He was the senior Vedic Pandit, a renunciant and a very devoted person. He was the one who started the Vedic movement in Prashantanilayam when Bhagwan inaugurated the Veda Patashala, the house where students were learning only Vedam in the initial years before the university came into being, before the college came. In the 60s, Swami started the Veda Patshala in Prashantanilayam, dedicated only to teach the Vedas and the Shastras, and Kamavadhani Garu was the one who was leading this endeavor in Prashantanilayam. So in 1969, he was in Bhagwan's entourage, and Swami's car proceeded in the direction of Sakinettipalli. It was a village 101.5 kilometers away from Razol. And that was the native place of Sri Ramalinga Raju, who was then the Minister of Religious Endowments, Government of Andhra Pradesh. And Mr. Raju prayed to Bhagwan to inaugurate the newly constructed Gita Mandir in his village. So Swami went there, and Sri Ramalinga Raju was waiting. But before leaving for Sakinettipalli, Swami suggested to Kamavadhani Garu, "See Kamavadhani, this is your village. You may go to your house, you may go to your house and see your people," Swami said. Now that was where the car had stopped, and Swami was going to Sakinettipalli, and Swami was telling Kamavadhani Garu, "Anyway, this is your village. Why don't you go and see your house and meet your people?" So Swami said this, and then Swami went to the place of Sri Ramalinga Raju. And when Kamavadhani Garu was there at the entrance of the village, some passerbys who recognized him, they informed his sons at home that your father is in the car. And so the family members came along with some village elders, and they requested Kamavadhani Garu to go to the village, to come to their home and to take rest until Swami returned from Sakinettipalli. But Kamavadhani Garu just declined the offer politely. Kadali was the village, and he was there some distance away from Kadali. Swami had left him there and gone to Sakinettipalli, And Swami had told him, you go and see your house, see your people, see your village, but Kamavadhani Garu just did not move. When people came from the village and requested him, he didn't even look at them, let alone talking to them. He was just sitting in the car, very stoical, and the way he was, nobody could even take that liberty of asking him why he was so adamant, why he was not willing to come to the village. And he just kept quiet. And when this drama was going on, people are continuously requesting him. The people who was with him, who were with him, they said, please come, this is your village, come to your home, see your people. Then Kamavadhani Garu said, Bhagwan told me, go and see your village, go to your house and see your people. But I have left my village, I have left my house, I have left my people long, long, long ago. I belong only to Prashanta Nilayam and my only refuge is Swami. He is my Dina Bandhu. I have no identification with anyone else. This is what he said. More people gathered from the village and they started inviting him more vociferously, and he kept telling this, no, no, no. And this continued for an hour, 8 to 9. And he was so sad that Bhagwan told him, go to your village, see your house and meet your people, because he felt that why did Swami not recognize me? That I belong to him, I don't belong to anyone else. I belong to Prashanta Nilayam, I don't belong to any other place. So after an hour, when Bhagwan returned, the family members of Sri Kamavadhani Garu who were there, they offered pranams to Swami. And the moment Swami saw them, Swami recognized them. And Swami said, hey, why didn't you not take Kamavadhani to your house? And all of them in one voice, they said, Swami, we tried so much, Swami, we have been pleading him, but he just absolutely reluctant, Swami. Obstinately he's sitting in the car, he's just not listening to us. Last 1 hour we have been asking him. Then Bhagwan beautifully smiled and said, okay, I will bring him. All of you go. We shall all have food together at your house. So the family members happily returned, listening this assurance from Bhagwan. They actually literally ran to the village in ecstasy to make arrangements, because Swami said, I am coming and bringing along with me Kamavadhani Garu. And then Swami told Kamavadhani Garu to sit in his car. Swami called him, and in Bhagwan's car, they started going to the village Kadali. Swami's car moved in a procession. The villagers were all around the car. And when they reached the house, it was a small tiled house. There was just an open veranda. Bhagwan went into the house and Swami sat in a chair for 5 minutes. It was a very, very ordinary chair. And Swami very merrily started talking to the members of the family of Sri Kamavadhani Garu. And meanwhile, a lot of people started coming in. The whole street got packed up. And someone managed to get two Petromax light. There was no electricity in that village. So there was just someone got these two kerosene lights. And a table and a chair was placed in front of the house. And then Bhagwan came out. And Swami looked at the crowd. The whole place was reverberating with slogans. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai Jai. That's what was going on. People are so thrilled that Swami has come to their little village. And Swami was so moved by the enthusiasm, by the devotion of that crowd. Swami very happily sat on the chair. Swami asked one more chair to be brought, and he placed the chair next to him, and Swami asked Kamavadhani Garu to sit in that chair. And even though there was no public address system, no mic, Swami most heartily gave a discourse there to all the people, and it was followed by bhajans for an hour. So discourse and bhajans went on, and Swami was all the time in praise of the scholarship, the humility and the dedication of Sri Kamavdhani Garu. And even as Bhagwan was praising him, Bhagwan's hand went up in the air and Swami materialized a gold chain studded with precious stones and put it around the neck of Sri Kamavdhani Garu. This aged Vedic scholar did not know how to react. He was choked with emotion. He could not open his mouth to even say one word. It was so overwhelming for him. No one knows from where everything got materialized. Suddenly a most delicious dinner was served after Bhagwan's discourse. Everyone wondered, how did that arrangement happen? When Bhagwan was in the minister's house just an hour ago, Swami declined to have dinner at the minister's place. Swami saying, no, I have to go. Swami was continuously hurrying up that visit. And the minister had made elaborate arrangements. He had a palace there and he had servants and he had made all the amenities there for Bhagwan to have a good dinner, rest and all that. But Swami was kept saying, no, I have to go. And here Bhagwan had spent 1 hour in the middle of the night, no electricity, no proper facility, but Swami was so happy with the love of these simple people, with the dedication of Kamavdhani Garu. The Lord, as Bhagwan always says, He is Bhava Priya. He is not enamored by the outer show of wealth, by the outer expression of our devotion. What He looks for is what is there inside of us. What is there outside us, around us, behind us, above us, is immaterial to Bhagwan. What means a lot to us and to the connection we have with Him is what is there inside. And that is what Bhagwan showed to Mr. Raman Rao. Mr. Raman Rao was part of this trip, and for him it was a amazing revelation of what Bhagwan wants. What is it that touches Bhagwan? Swami just wants us to be the flute. As you listen to the background, the flute playing, Swami wants us to be that flute where we can say, Swami, I am nothing. I have no house. I have no family. I have no relatives. There is nothing that is mine, Swami. If there is any identification, Swami, the identification is only You, Swami. I belong to You. If we can become that flute, if we can become that hollow like Kamavdhani Garu, then Bhagwan will rush to be with us. He will flood us with the joys that we would have never ever imagined. He will fill our life, make it complete to the brim with joy. That is what Bhagwan is. If only we can empty ourselves and fill with a beautiful melody of His glory, we will see that our story will become a story of eternal love. So in the same year, 1969, on the sand bed of Godavari in the east, west Godavari districts, Mr. Raman Rao had the beautiful chance of being with Swami. On the 25th of January, there was a day of delight for Mr. Raman Rao. It was a day of ecstasy for the devotees of Rajahmundry. Towards evening of the 25th of January, about 300 devotees boarded three motor launches and went over the Godavari River with Bhagwan to the sand dunes on one of the islands formed by the river Godavari when its waters subsided after the monsoon floods. So on these three motor boats bound together with coir ropes, the devotees crossed river Godavari to reach that white sand bed at a distance of 6 kilometers from the bank of the city of Rajahmundry. It was a bright, cool night. You could feel the moon light, very soothing. All of them in that lovely ambience were seated on the sand bed at 9 p.m. And Bhagwan asked the devotees to find an extended dry flat sand bed for all to sit comfortably. And so all these 150 devotees started searching, going hither and thither to find a suitable place, not being familiar with the place. Mr. Satyamurthy and Mr. Raman Rao, they were walking on the sands along with Swami, and Mr. Rama Rao, who was there, he suddenly said, "Swami, this place is very nice. Let us sit down here." And Swami said, "Okay." And so all of them sat on the sand bed, and as Bhagwan sat, everyone sat around Bhagwan, and the rest of the team, they surrounded Swami, and bhajans went on for half an hour. And then Bhagwan started answering questions of devotees for another 20 minutes. Someone asked about the significance of Linga, what is the significance of Shiva, and Swami started explaining the inner import of the Linga as a symbol of Lord Shiva and about the Rasa Leelas of Lord Krishna. And as Bhagwan was talking, suddenly Swami heaped up sand, and just in front of everyone, from one of the heaps of sand that Swami had just created, Bhagwan took out an opal Linga. He materialized this beautiful Linga, and Swami said, "This is the sacred Linga which was installed at the Somnath temple in Gujarat." Swami said, "When I had visited the temple in Gujarat, this is the lingam that was installed there." So Swami showed this to all the devotees, and they were so fortunate to be there, to be having Somnath Darshan on Bhagwan's palm on the banks of Godavari near Rajahmundry in Andhra Pradesh. And bhajans were going on, stars from the above were looking at the beautiful Leela that Swami was doing. And even as Bhagwan was answering more questions, Swami now from the heap of sand took out another marvelous manifestation. This time it was a golden idol of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna as Bala Krishna, as little Krishna, crawling as a child with a ball of butter in his hand. And Swami started explaining the meaning of butter. Swami said, "The purity of intention attained after the churning of the sadhana, that is the butter that Lord Krishna wants. That is the butter that Lord Krishna is committed to stealing. Lord Krishna wants that butter of our heart, the butter that emerges after our heart is churned with the penance of sadhana." And Swami spoke of the places sanctified by the installation of these lingas, and Swami referred to an Akasha Linga, a space linga in a temple, and Swami said that this linga hangs in midair with no support, and when devotees stared at Bhagwan in awe, for they wondered how could this linga just stand like that. Then Swami explained that the linga is some ferrous material, iron material, and because there are two magnets, one on top on the underside of the roof and another fixed on the floor, it is because of the equal and opposite pulls of the magnets on the linga that the linga remains in the center in midair without any support. And even as Bhagwan explained this, Swami asked, "Do you want to see it? Do you have the desire to see this?" Swami said, "I can dislodge it from there and bring it here." And saying so, Swami waved his hand, and there on his hand was this egg-shaped ferrous ball, resplendent, and Swami gave it to one devotee and asked him to pass it on from one palm to another so that everyone could feel the lingam and be thrilled with the blessing of seeing this sacred symbol of God. And finally, Bhagwan then wrapped it up in a handkerchief and gave it to a young man to be kept in safe custody. And then the entire group of 300 sat for dinner on the sands, and Bhagwan was there with them. Swami was joking, and with Swami you are always in the best of spirits. So both these articles, this linga and the Krishna idol, they were placed on a silver plate, and after every devotee had seen, Swami gave that holy linga wrapped in a handkerchief and that idol to Sri N. Satyam, who was the secretary of the local samiti there, and Swami told him, "Be careful, return it to me after dinner." So at 10:30 p.m. when all the devotees finished dinner and they were around Bhagwan, there was a folding table and a chair that was placed for Bhagwan. And after dinner, Swami asked Mr. Satyam, "You give me both the articles." So when Satyam started searching in the bag, he could find only the idol of Lord Krishna. He could not find the linga. And Swami said, "Where is the linga? I gave you both. I gave you the Krishna as well as the linga. I told you to be careful, keep it safe. Now show me the linga." And the person was very perturbed. He didn't know what to do because he had kept it properly, just as Bhagwan had instructed. He had wrapped it up and kept it safe in his pocket. But now only is the Krishna is there, linga is not there. And then Swami looked at his discomfiture and suddenly smiled, and after teasing him for a while, Swami said, "I sent it back, don't worry. I sent it back to the holy presence from where I had brought it." So those were the leelas of Bhagwan on the sands of River Godavari. So Swami returned to the bank of River Godavari at around 11:30 p.m. and Swami's face was blossoming like a fresh flower despite his hectic activity from 8 a.m. to midnight that day. That's why the Lord is Nitya Nutana, as Swami says. He's ever fresh. He's ever beautiful. And that is what Mr. Raman Rao saw in action, saw touring with Swami, living with Swami, dining with Swami, traveling with Swami. On 26th morning, Swami addressed the Lions Club members at Rajahmundry. So on the 26th, Swami told these volunteers of Lions Club, "You are members of a club that bears a great name, the lion. The lion and the elephant are natural enemies according to poetic convention," Swami said. "But there is a great lesson latent in this. The elephant wanders free and furious in the thick entanglements of the jungle. It is the symbol of the mind which rambles, goaded by whim and appetite. But this elephant surrenders before the superior skill and sinew of the lion," Swami said. "The lion is the intellect. The elephant is the mind. The intellect distinguishes between the real and the unreal, the transient and the eternal." And Bhagwan continued, "When this winnowing is neglected, man moves from one illusion to another. So sharpen your intellect and sublimate it with peace and harmony. Then you will be revealed of the basic reality, the reality behind all these apparent contradictions and confusions. Swami said, mere compassion and the passion to do service is not enough. In fact, that can even be dangerous if you don't inquire into the causes of suffering and if you don't make an attempt to know why suffering happens, and if you have not unraveled the safest and the surest means of alleviating that suffering, even if you do service, it will not be of much use. You have to understand the root cause of suffering, and the root cause of suffering is lack of wisdom, wherein you are unable to realize the indwelling unity among apparent diversity. The safest and the surest means of uprooting this suffering, Swami said, is by removing ignorance and realizing the reality, the unity of this creation. So Bhagwan stressed on how service should be always divinized. Service is not just helping someone, giving something to someone as a quick fix solution or as providing some basic amenities. Unless service is done with a feeling of understanding the unity which underlies the entire creation, the service will not take us far on the spiritual path. That was the message that Bhagwan gave to members of the Lions Club. On that day, 2:30 PM, Swami left Rajahmundry for Vijayawada, and on the route Swami had tea and snacks at the house of Dr. Bhaskar Rao, another very, very dedicated devotee of Bhagwan. In Vijayawada, Swami addressed a public meeting from 6 to 7:30 PM, followed by a cultural program by Balvika students, and after that all the devotees, members of Bhagwan's entourage, they had dinner and they rested for the night in the spacious residence of Sri Shivaramakrishnaya, the then district president of Krishna district. The next day, 27th morning, Mr. Raman Rao recollects how they went to the town of Akiripalli, about 20 kilometers from Vijayawada, and Bhagwan attended the anniversary of the Sanskrit and Vedic college in that town, and at 10 AM, Bhagwan left for Chennai by road, and after that Mr. Raman Rao took leave of Bhagwan and returned to Hyderabad. So that was Mr. Raman Rao's beautiful reminiscences of being with Swami in 1969 during Bhagwan's East-West Godavari trip. So that happened in the January of 1969, and soon came the Shivaratri of 1969, and Mr. Raman Rao was back in Puttaparthi along with his wife for this grand festival. During those days, Shivaratris used to be held in the Shanti Vedika. There was a beautiful stage where currently the Sai Kurvanth Hall is. On the lady side, there used to be a stage which used to be called Shanti Vedika, and Bhagwan used to be on this stage on the evening of Shivaratri, 6 PM, and then in those days everyone would look forward to this festival because of the Lingodbhavam that Bhagwan always did on this sacred festival. And Professor Kasturi writes in Satyam Shivam Sundaram Volume 3 how Bhagwan was under the floodlights and Swami was asking for water. He was twisting and turning, squirming and sitting forward and leaning backward, sipping water, showing signs of exhaustion. And that amazing drama everyone knew was going to happen at any moment. All these devotees were waiting with bated breath to witness in their own lives the glory of being contemporary of the most supreme avatar, to watch that magnificent manifestation of the linga. 50,000 eyes were focused on that serene mouth for over 15 long laborious minutes, and when it emerged in one leap, it was a blue shaft of light. It was an oval-shaped, oval-sized gem celebrated in the Shastras as something very sacred because of the color and the size. It just came out of Bhagwan's mouth into his cupped palms, and Swami held that wonder in his hand. High in that light, everyone could see dazzling and shining, and Swami continued sitting in the air after creating the lingam, and generally Swami would descend from the stage on the Shanti Vedika and move into the hall and show everyone the lingam. But on that occasion, Shivratri 1969, Swami just sat in the chair and Swami was still motionless. So everyone thought that probably Bhagwan would manifest another lingam after a while. But no, Swami was just sitting there absolutely stiff, motionless. He was just silent and he was getting stiffer. And suddenly the right hand was lying flat on the table. The left was erect, the elbow fixed on the table, and fingers were near his eyes, and the head was slightly inclined to the left, and the thumb held apart, the ring finger and the little finger folded, and the other two were straight up. The breathing was slow, and the breathing was becoming slower and slower, and everyone was wondering what is happening to Swami. Swami just sitting there absolutely still. Who can touch him? Who had the courage to draw Bhagwan's attention away from the place, you know, away from what he was doing? Professor Kasturi was sitting on the left of Bhagwan's chair, and Dr. Bhagwantam and Dr. Bhaskaran Nair, they were there on the right. 5 minutes went by and Professor Kasturi expected that Swami would return from wherever he had left his body and gone. But so many people were waiting there. At no time, Swami had left his body on a transcorporeal journey when so many were looking on. But we never know. Bhagwan's compassion has no limits. He can respond to the call of a devotee anywhere, anytime. Nobody is an exception for the Lord. He will go to whoever calls him. On other times, there have been occasions when Swami just fallen on the floor, suddenly just left his body and went to save someone. But this was very unusual. Swami was sitting there still and there are 50,000 eyes looking on at him. 20 minutes passed and everyone got worried. And so Professor Kasturi leaned towards Bhagwan and in a subdued voice he tried to call, "Swami, Swami." As if he calls, Swami will come back. But he wanted to do whatever he thought he can because it looked very scary. Swami was just absolutely motionless. Yes, Bhagwan's mission is Bhakta Rakshana. And Bhakta Rakshana knows no bounds of caste, creed, nationality. He will bless whoever asks for his love. And everyone now was getting even more perturbed. 30 minutes passed and now all eyes were watching the face for the slightest sign of movement, and they were now praying, "Swami, where are you?" The fortitude of the devotees were being transformed into nervousness now, because Bhagwan's hand was stiff, upright, the finger did not jerk or come together, the angle of the head was the same for the past 50 minutes, and everyone was now so scared. Some people began to weep. Courage faltered before the onslaught of concern, and 55 minutes, after 55 minutes, there was a slight movement of the fingers of the left hand. Suddenly the hand came down. Once the movement happened, everyone was so relieved. And slowly when Bhagwan opened his eyes and Swami just smiled, and when Bhagwan smiled after 50 anxious, painful moments for the devotees, everyone burst out in joy. Fear, doubt, everything melted away, and everyone was in ecstasy to see that Bhagwan back in action. So much happiness to see that Bhagwan, like before. Swami went inside the mandir, and when Dr. Bhagwantam and Professor Kasturi and others followed Swami, and they picked up courage to ask Swami, "Swami, where were you where did you go? And Swami revealed, I had gone on a Manasa Sanchara. I had gone on a trip round the world. I had gone on a world trip. That is the Lord. He went in order to give signs in every home and hall where Shivratri was being celebrated. He was pouring His grace on those longing hearts, whoever was calling out to Him. Whoever had the pure and sincere faith was being rewarded by His benediction. And what all the people privileged there on that night were able to see is that beautiful sight of Bhagwan journeying far and wide to confer peace, to foster the erring, and to bring everyone onto the path of justice, peace, love and righteousness. He was converting the Ratri of Rajas and Tamas into the Ratri of Sattva, into the Ratri of Shivam, auspiciousness. As Professor Kasturi says, that year we saw two Udbhavas, two emergences. One was Lingodbhava, Lingam, and the second is Premodbhava, the emergence of love. And if someone were to doubt what Bhagwan said, Professor Kasturi says, well, it is as simple as this. Bhagwan always says, how can you understand me? Can a fish know the sky? It may see the reflection in the water of the lightning flash. It may hear the echo of the rumbling thunder, but what can it know of the mysteries of the ethereal region being sunk in an element from which it cannot escape and survive? What can a fish know about the galaxy and the sky? That is how every human being is who tries to understand the ununderstandable. This is the Shivratri that Mr. Raman Rao experienced. These were his initial years of coming to Bhagwan, and he's seeing how Bhagwan responds to the prayers of people, how Bhagwan is the caretaker of the entire universe, how Bhagwan is the one who is the protector, preserver, redeemer of all, in all spheres of existence.
Jaya Shankara Bhava Gochara Shiva Chidambara Omkara.
Jaya Shankara Bhava Gochara Shiva Chidambara
Omkara. Jaya Shankara Bhava Gochara Shiva Chidambara Omkara. Parthi Vihara Papa Vidura Vidura Jagato Dhara Brahma Para Jagato Dhara Brahma Para
Brahma Para.
శంకర భవగోచర శివ చిదంబర ఓంకార.
సో దట్ శివరాత్రి హ్యాడ్ మెనీ మోర్ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ మూమెంట్స్ ఫర్ మిస్టర్ రమణ్ రావు. సో ద మార్నింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ శివరాత్రి, శ్రీ రమణ్ రావు వెన్ టు ది బాత్ షెడ్ ఓన్ బై ఎ పర్సన్ బై నేమ్ కసీమ్. అట్ దాట్ పాయింట్ ఇన్ టైమ్, ఐఎమ్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ 1969, దెర్ ఆర్ నో ప్రాపర్ రూమ్స్ ఆర్ ఎనీ ఫెసిలిటీస్ ఫర్ పీపుల్. సో యూ హ్యావ్ టు గో టు ద చిత్రావతి ఫర్ యువర్ మార్నింగ్ అబ్లూషన్స్. దెర్ వాజ్ వన్ పర్సన్ బై నేమ్ కసీమ్ హూ హ్యాడ్ ఎ బాత్ షెడ్ అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ వేర్ మిస్టర్ రమణ్ రావు యూస్ టు గో ఎవ్రి మార్నింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ హిస్ బాత్ outside the ashram, and he would always take a pair of iron clothes, take bath and give the soiled clothes to the washerman waiting there. So that morning, so this morning, this is after Shivratri, after he showered, he put on the clean clothes, combed the hair while coming out of the bath shed. But unfortunately, as he stepped out of the bath shed, he slipped and he fell on the muddy road, and his new pair of clothes got totally wet and dirty with mud. In fact, it was a very bad fall, and the Kasim had to lift Mr. Raman Rao up, and he said, "Sir, you better remove the clothes, otherwise your innerwear also will become wet." So he gave a towel and he said, "You better you have this towel and then remove the clothes and wear new clothes." So Mr. Raman Rao thought, okay, forget it, I'll just wear the old clothes. And when he turned, he found that the washerman had already left with the soiled clothes. Now he had no clothes, just a towel. The new clothes are dirty, old clothes are gone. He didn't know what to do. And with the towel around his waist and just a vest, He came to the ashram, and so embarrassed, he didn't know what to do. He wanted to quickly go to the place where he had kept his suitcase, because that is where he had another pair of dress. But the problem was, his wife had the key for the suitcase, and it was a common suitcase, and now his wife had already gone to the mandir, and he was there with a towel and no clothes on inside the ashram. He was trying to hide himself in some bush sitting. Wife has already gone to the hall for darshan and divine discourse, so he knew that she's not going to come anytime sooner. She will come only after Bhagavan's discourse, and only then can he have access to the suitcase key and open for the new pair of clothes. And he was sitting there behind a bush, crouched so that no one notices him. But as the arati happened and he was waiting eagerly for his wife to come, another lady devotee came that way, and looking at him and in that funny attire, he said that, I saw your wife, but she's gone to the canteen. And Mr. Raman Rao thought, oh my God, if she's gone to the canteen after that, because now she'll have a proper breakfast and come, she must be hungry and is going to take even more time. And she didn't know what to do. And even when he was in such kind of predicament, one student came running to where he was, and he said, "Sir, Swami's calling you, Swami's calling you." Oh my God, of all the time on earth, now Swami has to call me. And he was looking desperately for any acquaintance, anyone who could give him some clothes to it, some shirt and pant to wear. And everyone had gone to the canteen after Swami's discourse, and he didn't know what to do. Then suddenly the student says, sir, please, Swami's calling you urgently. Please dress yourself, sir. Please change and come quickly. And he, Mr. Raman Rao, did not know what to say to the student. And suddenly he saw the wife of Mr. Lakshman Rao, who was the president of the Sikandrabad Samiti. And So he, out of desperation, he approached her and said, you know, do you have your husband's clothes? And he said, oh, my suitcase also is locked, sir. My husband has the keys. Oh my God. She said, sir, just wait. My husband will come at any point in time. He said, no, no, there is no time. Swami is waiting. And when Raman Rao saw that their bed was there, he just opened that bed, half opened bed, and he removed one soiled pajama and kurta that Lakshman Rao had worn the previous day, and he started wearing that. And his wife said, sir, don't wear that. That is what he wore for the train journey. Just wait for a few minutes, he will come and give you some new clothes. He said, no, there is no time. In fact, Lakshman Rao was double the size of Mr. Raman Rao, so he was looking like a cartoon. He was looking like all hands and legs, everything was hanging loose out of his body when he was in that clothes. But he just put on some clothes and he ran to the interview room with that funny attire, and he didn't even want to see how he's looking, but Swami has called, so he just wanted to run to the interview room. And by the time he entered the interview room, there were already 10 persons there, and imagine the kind of people who were there: Shri Raja Reddy, Shri Prasad Rao, Justice Partha Sarathi, Professor Kasturi, Desikacharya, all very, very distinguished people. And he entered there in this absolutely shabby dress, and the so loosey-woosey, crumpled, dirty dress, and just as he had thought, the moment Swami said, Chi, what is this dress? You're looking like a circus buffoon. Swami said, look at all these people. They're wearing such neat clothes. I called you to show you the lingam that I took out last night. You go. Chi, go and stand by the door, Swami said. And Mr. Raman Rao knew that, you know, this was what was expected, because he cannot go to Swami wearing such dirty, smelly clothes. He just stood at the wall of the interview room, hanging his head in shame. Swami kept that lingam on a handkerchief on the silver plate. And Swami took that plate into his hand, and Swami started showing that lingam to everyone there. Everyone was touching that lingam, all the distinguished people in the interview room. They were touching the surface of the lingam with their fingers. They are pressing it to their eyes reverentially. And then Swami was showing each one. Then finally Swami came to him also, to Raman Rao also. Swami said, okay, you have also come. You also take a look at it. But Mr. Raman Rao was so careful, he did not want to move, he did not want to even touch, he did not want to do anything. But then Swami noticed, and Swami said, hey, come. And even though he did not want to touch, he was just doing namaskar from the place where he was standing, he did not want to touch. But Swami, the loving Swami wrapped that lingam in the handkerchief, and Swami took that lingam and put it in the pocket of Mr. Raman Rao. Here was Raman Rao, didn't want to touch it, not going near it. Swami put it inside and he shouted, Swami. Swami said, yes, keep it. He said, Swami, I don't know how to worship this lingam, Swami. I am very scared, Swami. You don't have to give this to me, Swami. Already he was feeling very, very uncomfortable with that shabby dress. And here Swami was putting that lingam into that dress. And he said, no, Swami, I don't want it. And Swami said, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do any worship. Lingam means Shivam. What is Shivam? Shivam means auspiciousness. You don't have to do anything. Just daily bathe the lingam with 2 spoons of water and drink that water. It will bestow on you health, life and prosperity. Swami said, you don't have to do any worship. Just do little Abhishekam and drink that water. It will give you health, life and prosperity. And Mr. Raman Rao, imagine, he lived up to the age of 90 and beyond, and he was healthy till the end. And he was prosperous, always happy, always healthy, always full of inspiration, always full of joy, always inspiring people to serve. That was what the life of Mr. Raman Rao was. And when Swami kept that lingam in his pocket, Mr. Raman Rao bent down and fell at the feet of Swami. He said, Swami, please forgive me. I will go out and change my dress immediately, Swami. Please permit me to go, Swami. I'm very sorry, Swami. And Swami immediately opened the door. And as he was leaving, then he overheard, Swami was telling the others, poor fellow, morning, after his bath, no, he fell down in the mud and then he did not have any clothes. Swami started narrating the entire episode of what Mr. Ramanrao had gone through. That is the Swami. That is the Natana Sutradhari. That is the playful Swami. He knows this is what the condition Mr. Ramanrao is, but he still calls him to test him, to see where is his heart, to see how serious he is to come to Bhagavan, to see, to also let him know that for Bhagavan what matters is not the outside, it is the inside. Into those seemingly shabby clothes Bhagavan put that sacred lingam that emerged out of his pure self. For Swami, it is the heart that matters. It is that obedience that matters. It is the response to the call that matters. Nothing else. In fact, after he returned, he kept very safely that lingam that Bhagavan had given. 2-3 years later, when Bhagavan was doing the inauguration of Shivam, when Bhagavan did the Bhumi Puja of his abode in Hyderabad, Shivam, Bhagavan asked for this linga. In fact, what happened there was a Trilinga Bhishekam. Bhagavan asked for 3 lingams that had emerged from his own being. One he had given to Ramanrao, one he had given to Desikacharyan. Like that, there are 3 lingams which Swami had given to 3 ardent devotees. Swami asked for all these 3 lingams. And Swami placed these 3 lingams when he was laying the foundation stone for the edifice that became his home in Hyderabad, the sacred presence of Shivam. The Shivam started with the installation of 3 lingams that had emerged from Bhagavan's mouth, and one of them was what Bhagavan had gifted Mr. Ramanrao, and Mr. Ramanrao had a very big role to play in the coming of Shivam and in the activities in Hyderabad, not only in Hyderabad and Andhra Pradesh, but of course in all the Sai Sevadal endeavors right from the 60s. And this is how Bhagavan slowly, slowly was teaching him what matters to him. If you have that kind of purity within, it does not matter what is there on outside. So like this, there are so many beautiful tales from the life of Mr. Ramanrao, which we will enjoy, learn, assimilate and try to emulate in our lives in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. In the seas, beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, I want to share with you such stories. I want to share with you stories of people who have lived the life of how the saints of yore have lived. We don't have to read the stories of only Dhruva, Markandeya, Prahlada. We have seen people who have had that kind of love for Bhagavan, that kind of commitment of Bhagavan, who have served Bhagavan like Hanuman served, who have served Bhagavan and loved Bhagavan like a Meera did, a Radha did. May not be to that degree, but they are our inspirations. They are people who capture the Lord's heart with their absolute commitment, and it is from their lives that we draw inspiration to lead a life so that we become near and dear to the Lord and one day become one with the Lord in service, in love, in joy. So we'll continue this series in the coming episodes. I'll share with you more tales from Ramanrao's life and from the lives of many such exalted souls. If you have any queries or comments, as always, dear listeners, please feel free to write to us You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us in this lovely journey. Offering this program at His Lotus Feet, I take your leave, wishing you a beautiful Thursday ahead. Sayonara.